brought a little brochure here. They are out in the lobby. I think if I walked out there on the left-hand side on a table there. This just shares a little bit more about what House on the Rock is and a lot of the things that we offer for marriages. If you're walking away from here and you're saying, man, there's so much more I want to learn, one of the things we've created is a website and a ministry we call Fan the Flame Dates. It's fantheflamedates.com. This is a free marriage resource for any couple, times where you can grow your marriage anytime, anywhere, any place. You go out there, and we've created a whole bunch of videos for couples. They're anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes long, and they're an opportunity for you to learn about a marriage topic, and then afterwards we have questions for you guys to discuss with each other and take some time doing it. We also do a weekly marriage devotional. It's a free marriage devotional for couples. You can go online there, sign up for the marriage devotional. We'd love to get you on our list, sending that out to you. We also periodically do marriage retreats where we're speaking for the whole weekend. Bruce and Karen, who founded the ministry, they're actually up in the Poconos at Center, if you've ever heard of that. They're doing a marriage retreat this weekend. And we also do a thing we call marriage intensives. This is something for couples who are struggling significantly. This is geared for couples that have a major barrier in their relationship. Many times it's couples that are a step away from divorce. And this is an opportunity for couples to come together. We do a significant amount of coaching, counseling over the course of a whole weekend with these couples. And it's something that I want to make sure you guys know about as a reference that you can share with others and let people know about as well. Let me open our time in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for a chance to be here. Lord, we thank you for a chance to talk about the topic of marriage. Lord, and we thank you so much for the priority that you made marriage. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures that you've given us where you talk about marriage, Lord, and you give us the resources and the knowledge, Lord, and the information to know how we should be growing our marriages. Lord, and this morning as we talk, I pray that your message will come across loud and clear, Lord, this morning. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Now, last week, if you were here in the sermon, we talked about intimacy, and we use the title Back to Naked. Going back to Genesis chapter 2, that weird little verse in Scripture, Genesis 2:25, where it says that Adam and Eve were naked and unashamed. There were no barriers, no hindrances to the intimacy that they had with each other. As soon as the fall came, as soon as sin enters the world, what do? They start hiding their nakedness. The intimacy starts getting shattered. And through the course of time, through last week, this morning, and then through the sermon, we're going to be talking about ways that we can reclaim that intimacy. We're looking at three specific areas. The first, last week we looked at emotional intimacy. This morning, we're going to talk about physical intimacy in the Sunday school time. And then, during the sermon, we're going to talk about spiritual intimacy. Now, when you put up a graphic that says back to naked, and you say we're going to talk about reclaiming physical intimacy, that can get a lot of people scared. We were at a retreat doing this same topic down in Ocean City, and Bruce and Karen were leading the weekend, and they had gone through the whole series on emotional intimacy, and throughout the whole time as they're talking about emotional intimacy, there was this one lady that you could tell she was starting to get sick. You know when you see somebody and you can just see a cold coming on to them, not sure what it was, flu-like symptoms, whatever it may be. And after the first session, you know, she's back in her room laying down. People are checking in on her and different stuff. Well, we get to the piece on physical intimacy. And as soon as Bruce starts talking, you see the husband leave, go back to the room. No one thinks anything of it. And next thing you know, you see this wife wrapped up, huddled, bundled, coming into the session. She looks horrible. And Bruce looks at this guy and he says, did you just drag your wife up here for this physical intimacy section? He looks at him and he says, you better believe it. I had to sit through emotional intimacy. She's sitting through physical intimacy. Now, you laugh at that a little bit. And one of the ways that we talk about this, we like to have fun as we're dealing with physical intimacy, as we're talking about these things. And I'm going to start out, hopefully, getting a few laughs here, sharing some things in some generalities that we're talking about here. This is not meant to offend anyone, but physical intimacy, pursuing the intimacies God originally intended. We're going to have some fun playing with this here, okay? Let's see if I can get this thing going. We're different, okay? When you look at men, when you look at women, we are extremely different. Okay, that's a good thing. God created us differently, right? There's lots of differences. Men, when you try and understand a little bit about men here, men are simple for the most part, right? When you're dealing with physical intimacy, this is the understanding of how a male works, on, off, right? Very simple, very easy. When you're trying to look and understand a little bit about how the female intimacy works, this is a little bit of a graphic that tries to explain things. We got knobs, levers, all sorts of things. Half the stuff here, men have no clue what these things are for. Women understand this stuff. Women are much more complicated and challenging. I was told once that you can tell differences between men and women based on the bathroom and the drawers that they have. When you open up a man's drawer, there's typically 5 items in every man's drawer, right? And they're all the same. You've got your deodorant, you've got your razor, you've got your comb, you've got a couple other basic necessities. When you open up a woman's drawer inside the bathroom, there's typically 100 items, and a man cannot usually name 5 of that 100 items that are in there, okay? We're very different. God created us very differently as we're going on here. And as I said, these are some exaggerated generalizations designed to produce some smiles. They are generalizations, okay? This does not hold true for every man and every woman, and they are meant to be funny as we get started here. So let's look a little bit at the female brain, okay? As you're looking at the female brain here, you have the phone skills section, the shopping section, the indecision area that's taking place in here. You have the irrational thought lobe that's occurring back there. You have the jealousy section. You have the need for commitment hemisphere, okay? You have the sense of direction nuclei that's placed in there. You have the ice cream receptors. You have the chocolate center. You have the argument and debate lobe. And then you have the sex particle, okay? Now, the male brain is a little bit different, okay? When you look at the male brain has the sex hemisphere that's taking place, okay? Within the male brain, you have the interruption lobe that is used often. You have the short attention span fragment. You have the TV receptors. You have, come on, slides. Uh-oh, I'm getting stuck here on TV. That happens often to men, doesn't it, right? You have the math section. You have the sports lobe. You have the commitment molecule that takes place here. You have, I'm getting stuck. You might need to help me, guys, in the back here. You have the stick shift section. You have the hunting area of the brain. You have the lame excuses gland, right? Okay. We have the remote control addiction center. How many women control the remote at their home? Men, is that typically dominated by you? Okay, that's taking place. We have the listening particle, the personal hygiene atom, and the ask for directions resistance center. Okay, and as you'll notice, that one thing happens, everything just turns into sex for men. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. As I said, these are exaggerations. They are meant to be funny. They are meant to make you guys laugh a little bit as we talk about this, but the generalizations within our society is that men and women are very, very different when we're dealing with this. So what is sexual intimacy? It's more than just the arousal that leads to the bringing together of organs resulting in orgasms, okay? Sexual intimacy is very different than the physical act of sex. And I want you to understand that, because I think that makes a significant, significant difference in understanding this talk that we're going to be having this morning, okay? Our society focuses on the act, not the intimacy. Instead, it's the consummation of a husband and a wife's spiritual and emotional intimacy celebrated by the joining together of their bodies. I want to show you guys a little video here. And this video is about a couple that are good friends of ours at the ministry. And they're going to share with you a little bit about the challenges that came with physical intimacy. So I'm going to toss it off here to Brad and Kate Aldrich as they're going to share with us here for a minute. And just so you know, this is one of our Fan the Flame Day videos. We've got a whole series that they did out on our website.
Hi, and welcome back to Fan the Flame Dates. I want to introduce you to Brad and Kate Aldrich, some good friends of ours, who are going to be doing a series of dates for us here on Fan the Flame Dates. But we want you to get to know them through their personal testimony. That's what's going to happen right now. And you're going to hear how they got involved in building their own marriage and helping other marriages grow as well.
Hello, we are Brad and Kate from One Flesh Marriage. 3 years ago, when God changed our marriage, He put on our hearts to really share with the world some of the things He taught us about marriage and how that you two could grow to have a one flesh marriage.
I first saw Kate at a party, and I think I ran immediately to one of my friends and said, "Who is that?" I was instantly attracted to her. And it was a couple years later that we finally started dating, because we got to be friends first, and then we started dating. And I just really adored her from the beginning. I was an adolescent boy, so I'll admit I found her very attractive. But it was more than that. I really just liked her personality. She made me laugh, made me feel good. But a lot of it was about how she made me feel that really first attracted me to her.
Brad was stable. He was level-headed. He was a normal teenage guy too, but I was just really attracted to the fact that he loved hanging out at youth group with his youth leaders, that we could spend that kind of time together and it didn't have to be anything huge. Brad was always very in touch with his emotions, and that made him kind of different from all the guys out there. We were encouraged strongly by our parents to wait because we met in high school. Brad was 2 years ahead of me, and so he was done high school, then I had a couple more years, then we both wanted to go to college, went to separate colleges. So there was a long time that we were just really waiting to get married.
I proposed to Kate on May 16th. And I took her to a favorite spot of ours, a hiking ground near where we lived. I had actually gone ahead and set up a picnic lunch ahead of time, and took her to this place that has a covered bridge, and we walked under the covered bridge, and she saw the picnic, and I think she knew it was coming at that point. I grew up in a Christian home and had been taught from pretty early age that sex before marriage was bad. In fact, probably sex was bad, but there wasn't a whole lot of communication about that. But I think we just had that value that you weren't supposed to do that. It was the forbidden line, if you will. And so it was something that Kate and I had talked about, and we did wait, and I'm very glad that we did. So that was great, but that be a big expectation for our marriage, that was finally here, and we were finally able to share that together.
We had spent 2 years kind of planning it. We were engaged for 2 years. We did everything long, and I was just excited that the wedding was finally there, that we were finally getting to do this thing that we had wanted to do for so long.
I remember seeing Kate come out of the church door and walk down the aisle and just feeling like this was the thing I had been waiting for so long, that it was finally here. I'd been waiting and dreaming about this day of our life starting together.
It did rain all day, and of course everybody was like, "Oh, that means you're gonna have just a happy marriage," which really is just something you tell people to make them feel better because it's rained on their wedding day, because it stinks. And so, but we had a fantastic day.
I admit I was most excited about marriage because when I read Ephesians 5 and I saw that it said that you leave your father and mother, which was a pretty great thing, that you become united with your wife and you become one flesh, I really thought that meant you got to have sex. And I was really excited for that, and it took me years and years to remember and recognize that there was a whole lot more to becoming one flesh than just sex.
I think the expectations that I really placed on our marriage prior to being married was that, you know, thinking about the fairy tales that are out there, I do think that there is sort of a stigma that goes along with the happily ever after. So that moment when you're experiencing what you think to be this great happiness, that things will just continue on that way. And I think I sometimes definitely struggled with that. But I think it was more the emotional for me that Brad would be able to anticipate my needs and my desires, and that he would anticipate them and know them without me having to voice them. And so I think that was one of my biggest struggles. And I started to realize that he had no clue. And so many times he would totally miss the mark. And I would be hurt by that when his intentions weren't at all to hurt me.
I had this expectation going into marriage that we finally were able to have sex, but not only that, that it would be frequent and readily available whenever I was interested, and that was part of what marriage was all about, at least I thought. And it really was only a few weeks into marriage that I started recognizing that sexual desire in marriage didn't mean that both of us had it, that there were times that I was maybe interested and she wasn't, and it just started being really hard, and I couldn't understand how we were waiting for this for so long, and now it just wasn't all that we had dreamed about.
I started realizing that Brad and I were very different in many ways in marriage, especially for sex and intimacy. It was a big difference for us. I had entered thinking that that would very much be the fairy tale, that it would just be spectacular, you know, that you just end happy. And it, for us, it was when we did. But I started to realize very early on that I could really kind of take it or leave it. It was kind of like a, okay, this is great every once in a while, but it's not something that I ended up really excited for all of the time. And Brad really struggled with that, which is completely understandable. I was kind of baffled by my own self, because the way you read about it and hear about it is that you know, you just get to explore each other, enjoy each other and whatnot. And I really struggled with my own desire for a long time. And it wasn't my desire for him at all, but it was more my desire for just sex in general. And so that became a big contention in our marriage.
So I remember turning to God some nights early in our marriage and just saying, I don't get it. We waited. We followed what we thought we were supposed to be doing right. And now it's not working. This is not connecting. This is not what I thought it was supposed to be. What's going wrong? How is this still a problem? And just really feeling desperate that our brand new marriage was here and something wasn't working right.
Honestly, for many years, I just said to myself, well, he's just going to have to deal with it, because I didn't understand why I was the way that I was. I didn't know how to get myself better. I also didn't know how to ask people for help. Too many times we just feel isolated, or we isolate ourselves and we don't feel like we can ask for help, especially where sexual intimacy is concerned.
There was a period in our life where we really started growing distant from each other, where we were doing life kind of separate.
Around year 5, a godly woman I had in my life just really shared that, you know, you really need to make it a priority. And that was a good thing, because it really helped us to push through to that. It had some of its own pitfalls, though, because I started to kind of show up physically, but really didn't show up emotionally, and spent the next 5 years trying to figure out how that was affecting our marriage. Because while you may make an effort to be there physically, if you're not there emotionally, it really does hurt your husband. Year 10, my uncle was dying of cancer, and he came to live with our family, and we just had a lot on our plate. And I just found myself many, many nights not being able to sleep. And so I would just pray and talk to God. And, you know, I felt God speak audibly to my spirit that during this time I needed to cling to my husband, for he is who God has called me to go through this with. So when I heard God saying that to my spirit, I was like, okay, what exactly does that mean? It was awesome that he said it, but I wasn't exactly sure how I was supposed to live that out. And so at night, after my uncle would be settled, at least to start, you know, Brad and I would go off to our room, and I would just physically cling to him, because I just needed that support and that love, and for him to be that physical rock on earth that God has given me. He's, you know, and so in doing so, one thing led to another many times, and we found ourselves in this crazy time in our lives finding some of the most amazing connection that we'd ever felt in our lives. And while, to be honest, sex was a part of it, it wasn't all of it. But God used that to build other things and to grow us in a way that we never thought was possible. At least I didn't think so. And so it was just a really cool time in our marriage. But it all happened through me praying one prayer that I had read in a book. This woman in this book, she kept praying that God would break her until she was wholly his. And I just felt this need for that during this time with my uncle and the kids and everything going crazy, to pray this prayer. And so I started praying it, and it was during praying that prayer that God spoke to my heart to cling to Brad. It was amazing. When one started making change, the other started meeting that change, and it just became this cycle that just brought about good stuff. And so that's led us to where we are today. And you know, Brad said to me one day, people were asking what was different about our marriage. People were seeing it outside of us. And he said, well, what do we tell them? How do we tell them how we got from point A to point B and all the points in between? And so we just started to talk about what God had done. And I can honestly say that it was worth walking through all that junk to get to where we are today. Because I think if you asked that young bride 14 years ago, hey, you know, you're going to have to walk through all of this, and honestly, at times some of it was really bad, I would have said, let me think about that for a while, and I'll get back to you. But being on the other side of it, I know now that I would gladly walk through all of it, because the marriage that we have now is so much better than the marriage of the expectations that I wanted in the beginning. It's 10 times better.
Any of you have ever felt that way? We don't need a raise of hands here, but physical intimacy can be a significant challenge in marriage. And knowing Brad and Kate well, and in talking with them in many different ways, this was something that when they said they struggled after about 5 years in their marriage, it was some major struggles that were occurring in their marriage. There was a significant distance that was created between them. And it wasn't just because they weren't having the physical act of sex. It was because intimacy was shattered in their relationship. And intimacy is something that needs to grow from all the other areas. If you can imagine a three-legged stool, sitting on a three-legged stool, there's three areas of intimacy in your life. There's the physical intimacy, there's the emotional intimacy, and the spiritual intimacy. And for that stool to stand strong, it needs all three of those legs. Sitting on a stool with two legs isn't going to get you that far. And the same goes with your marriage. When you have a marriage and one of those areas of intimacy is not going correctly, your marriage is not going to stand strong. It's not going to be able to carry the weights and the challenges of this world like God intended for it to occur. So spiritual intimacy, we're going to talk about a little bit later, but physical intimacy is a challenge. Sexual intimacy. It's a challenge for a lot of couples. And I think Brad shared something that he verbalized before I even thought it. Because I grew up in a church, and my situation is not too far from theirs. My wife and I grew up in the church hearing that, you know, sex before marriage is bad, sex before marriage is bad. And sometimes you kind of think to yourself, maybe sex is bad. Do we talk about the joy of physical intimacy within a marriage? Do we talk about the unity that physical intimacy can create and bring into a marriage? Do we talk about the proper appropriateness of keeping it within the marriage confines? Well, let's look at this a little bit, okay? Question that I have for you guys this morning. And my clicker's struggling here. Do you want sex, or do you want what sex means? Think about this in the marriage relationship. And I think this is something that as I grew in my marriage, I grew to understand more and more. When I was young, when I first got married, quite honestly, I think I wanted sex, okay? I wanted that physical intimacy, that forbidden thing that I could never have before. But as I've grown in my marriage, I've grown to realize that I care more about what sex means to me than about the physical aspect of it. It means more to me to know that I can be totally and completely intimate with my wife, and that that is something that I can share with her that I cannot share with anybody else. It is an intimacy that is something that is special, created only for marriage. What we're both looking for is to be wanted to be needed, to be affirmed by our one and only. It's an incredibly, incredibly powerful connection. It's the union of the heart, the body, the mind, and the spirit, all coming together. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, looking in verse 2 to 5, it says, "Do not deprive each other," talking about the marriage union, okay? He starts out in verse 1, he says, "Now for the matters you wrote about, it's good for a man not to marry, but since there's so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband, the same way the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other, except by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer." Okay? Now, this is one of those verses that, as a young teenage guy, I remember thinking to myself, this is the passage we want to talk about. But I've grown to understand that this is so much more than just the concept of physically coming together. There's so much more that takes place with this, okay? And I want you to notice there that there's something even more powerful in the confines of marriage than physical intimacy. What is it that's more powerful than the physical intimacy that a couple can have together? Prayer. Spiritual intimacy. That union of coming together and bringing our hearts, minds, and our souls together, spiritually being intimate. And then it says, then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you. Physical intimacy is a protection within your marriage. Now, I want you to imagine for a minute, okay? Wives, you come home, and there is a local joint, we'll just use that word, that has many inappropriate and lewd activities taking place. They decide to use the post office as a way to promote their joint, and they put together postcards that are very inappropriate and very sexually driven. Now, wife comes home, picks up the mail, looks through it, sees this ad. Are you going to take that ad and are you going to stick it on the spot where your husband comes home to read the mail and leave it there for him? Or are you going to throw it away? Probably going to throw it away, right? You're going to get rid of it because you want to protect him from seeing this inappropriate stuff. Well, in the same way, in the marriage confines, physical intimacy is a way to protect your spouses from looking in other places. And I say this for the men and the ladies. And I want us to understand that this isn't just dealing with physical intimacy. This needs to deal with all the intimacies that are taking place. When your marriage, when your partner is not the person that you're going to for comfort, physically, spiritually, or emotionally, your marriage is beginning to have problems. That stool is beginning to crumble. My wife and I have a good friend, and unfortunately, that good friend of ours just separated. And when it got down to understanding what was going on in their relationship, the husband was not emotionally connecting with the wife. So what did the wife do? He wasn't protecting her. He was not keeping her strong emotionally. She went somewhere else where she could emotionally vent. And she started an emotional relationship with another guy. And that emotional relationship turned into something that was physical. We see this. We see this in our culture. I think most of you at this point in your life have seen this, that we need to be protecting each other emotionally, physically, and spiritually in the confines of our marriage. Well, how can we begin to do this? What are some steps that we can take? I want you to understand, great sex, okay, without any spiritual or emotional connection will soon become a boring, meaningless physical act. if all you're worried about is physical intimacy, but you're not worried about all the other areas of it, it's not going to mean anything. Our society has an awful lot of sex that is boring, meaningless acts. When you look into some of the stories of celebrities and the ways that they've gone down into sin and cycles of despair, they had physical intimacy as much as they wanted, but it didn't mean anything to them because there was not that spiritual emotional connection that comes from the confines of a marriage relationship. And that's what we need to be focusing on. That's what we need to be thinking about, okay? We need to be working on this. The truth is, apologize, my clicker's struggling here. You can't have great sex without the spiritual and emotional intimacies that give the physical act its true and its intended meaning, okay? Well, why did God create sex, all right? What was his intended purpose for it? What's the context for it, and what are the guidelines that God placed around sex, okay? Well, let's talk about this for a couple minutes. Why? Because sex is a powerful glue between a husband and a wife. It's a unity builder. It's that intimacy that I can have between me and my wife that I will not have with anybody else. It's powerful. It's a glue. It's something that keeps us together, okay? It's something that we desire. It's something that we want. And that one and only should be the one that's providing that for us, that we have in our marriage relationship, to provide pleasure. Now, we're a little bit different than our Catholic friends here. Our Catholic friends will sometimes say that this was meant for procreation only. I don't believe that. I believe that God created physical intimacy for pleasure as well. And it's something that we can enjoy in the confines of our marriage. And it's also something that we do to procreate, to produce children, okay? It's a natural thing that's taking place. And to protect us from sin, all right? We talked about that a little bit. Sex is the only love language exclusively reserved as a unique love language spoken to the one we've committed our total beings to, our spouses for lives, okay? We're not going to speak this with anybody else. We shouldn't speak this with anybody else. It's something that's there. It's created for that purpose specifically. It's intended for pleasure. Now, when you think about this, you do realize, don't you, that God didn't have to make sex or procreation so pleasurable. Think about that for a minute, okay? God did not have to make procreation an act that was pleasurable. Could you imagine for a minute if the way to have children was to take a finger, to cut off a finger, and to put it into a pot and say, you know what? We're going to grow children. All right? Come on, clicker. I'm struggling here. If you guys want to hit next one more time. Oops. All right? Imagine for a minute that this is how children came along. Okay? And you were to cut off the finger, put it in the pot, out comes the children. But instead, he gave us an activity that's incredibly pleasurable in the confines of marriage. Okay? To protect us. Says in 1 Corinthians 7, since there's so much immorality, each man should have his own wife, each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty, and likewise the wife to her husband. Like I said, we want to protect our spouses. We want to keep them safe. And we want to do this through the physical intimacy that God intended in our marriage. That is something that is incredibly appropriate and incredibly important as we're moving forward. If you want to click to the next slide. Sorry, back one. It says the wife's body doesn't belong to her in the same way husband's body doesn't belong to him. Don't deprive each other except by mutual consent. Brad and Kate Aldrich, who you saw the testimony with, one of the other videos that they've done with us, and if you want to go, you can check it out. They have a video where they do a thing called the 10-day challenge. And this is a 10-day intimacy challenge. That for 10 days, they will encourage husbands and wives to be intimate 10 days in a row. Now, for some people, thinking about that, you might be thinking 10 days in a row, no big deal. There's others of you that might be saying to yourself, 10 days in a row of intimacy, holy cow, I'm not sure we've been like that for the last 10 years. Okay? It's a challenge, and many couples are in many different places regarding this. And they do it not just for the fun of it, but they have found that by doing the 10-day challenge, it's a way for couples to begin regaining some of those physical connections that may have been lost. But what's even more important is they find that couples that partake in the 10-day challenge have to come up with all sorts of other intimacies to keep this going. You have to purposely plan for spending that much time with each other 10 days in a row, and organizing your schedules and coming up with a way to make this happen. You're actually spending time with each other for 10 straight days. Okay? There's some relationships where that doesn't happen that much. And that's a challenge. It's something that's fun. It's something that is something that you as a husband or wife would say, you know what, we did that. We can make it happen. It's a way, if you've been in a rut physically, to get yourselves out of that rut and to get yourselves in a position where, you know what, we've been doing the exact same thing for the last however many years, and this is a way for us to break out of that and to do something a little different and unique. I challenge you. Watch the video. It might be something that you want to give to your spouse as a Valentine's Day gift this year. Something where you say, you know what? Let's take this challenge. Let's try this. Let's see if this is something that we can do together in the wonderful confines of marriage, where we're growing together spiritually, physically, and emotionally. If you want to click. So, keep going. Sex should be given freely. It's not something that's a reward. It's not something that's a weapon. It's not something that's a manipulation tool. Okay? Remember this. This is incredibly important within marriage. My wife and I, when we first got married, we made a couple rules within our marriage. One rule was we would never joke or talk about divorce, because for us that wasn't even an option. And it never became a threat. It never became a weapon. It never became something that we ever even discussed. My wife grew up in a family where her mom would throw it out all the time as a weapon. And she would yell things in her anger and fits of rage. And my wife saw that and saw how damaging and painful that was for her dad. So we said, that's never going to be a weapon. We've also said that physical intimacy cannot be used as a weapon. It's not something where I get rewarded if I've done a good job at something. It's not something where she gets rewarded. It's something that is to be a joy in our marriage. And I challenge you, make sure it stays in its appropriate setting. You want to flip? It's our duty or obligation to lovingly serve our spouses. Okay? We don't like the word duty sometimes. We don't like that whole confines of duty and physical intimacy. It doesn't seem like it makes sense to us. But God's put it that way in scriptures. And he says this is how we're supposed to be moving forward with this. Servant versus selfish. Keep going. The theme of Song of Solomon is servant love. Putting your spouse first. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfishness. Treat others as more important than yourselves. This is a mindset that God has for us in scriptures. And the same mindset should follow through into our marital relationship with our spouse. This is something that we need to be focusing in on. Little joke here, but your father and I aren't as wild as we used to be. Does arm wrestling for the last slice of pizza count as intimate physical contact? Okay? Hopefully this isn't your marriage relationship. Some priorities here, and we're going to go through this a little quickly. First, pay attention to your sexual life. While it's true every part of your life affects every other part, you must make every effort to keep your sexual life healthy. Okay? It is a priority. It's something that you need to focus on. You know, I see all sorts of commercials and stuff about focusing in on your retirement. You want to retire well. You want to make sure you have enough money so that when you retire, you don't have to worry about anything, right? You want to keep your same lifestyle when you're no longer working as you are when you're retired, so that you can go out and have all sorts of fun and do everything that you want to do. I have my own thoughts about that, but you know what? We focus a lot on retirement, don't we? Do we focus in on a priority of physical intimacy and how important it is for a long-lasting relationship? Okay. Next, let's never forget God's warning about Satan's attack that he gave us in 1 Corinthians 7. Keep going, please. Sexually unfulfilled people can be tempted through their lack of self-control. It's real. It is something that's incredibly important. When we are satisfied in our marriage relationship, we are not going to be looking and wandering. And remember, that's true about every area of intimacy. It's not just physical intimacy. Emotionally, we talked about that last week. Are we emotionally satisfying the needs of our spouses? Are we spending time where we're talking with them, where we're hearing emotions, not just the facts? Are we going through this with each other? And when we're satisfied, we don't look other places. Okay? Next, remove the avenue of satanic attack by keeping your mate thoroughly sexually satisfied, emotionally and spiritually. We just said that. Let's keep going. Next thing, and this is a little practical here, but when dealing with physical intimacy, try and make certain places special. Your bedroom should be a place that's reserved for you and your spouse. It should be a place that you enjoy. My wife and I, about 5 years into our marriage, we realized that, you know what? We've spent a lot of time and effort on creating a really nice living room area. We remodeled our kitchen. We spent money on a dining room table as our family grew so that we would enjoy these aspects of our room. Of our house. But you know what we never did? We never did anything to our bedroom. And quite honestly, we didn't like our bedroom all that much. It wasn't something that was all that special to us. It wasn't something that we enjoyed being in there. We used it to go to sleep. We used it, you know, when we were physically, but we didn't really like our bedroom all that much. Until one time, we said, you know what? We want to make this place special. My wife loves the beach. So what did we do? We turned our entire bedroom into a beach theme. We now have these little buoys hanging places. We have all kinds of beach signs that are hanging up that makes it feel like it's a beach house room, because that's my wife's favorite place in the world to be. And I enjoy the color schemes, the blues, the nautical stuff that's tied into it. Our bedroom is now a place that we enjoy going to. It's a whole lot easier when you enjoy that room to turn off the TV, to turn in a little earlier, and to make sure that you're going to spend time in that room with each other. Don't argue in that room. Don't discipline your children in that room, okay? If that room is the room that's equated to as punishments within your mind, that doesn't bode well for physical intimacy, okay? Never, ever pay bills in that room, okay? Make this a place that's special. It should be for dressing, for sleeping, lovemaking only, nothing else, okay? So when you think about your bedroom, is this a common theme within a bedroom facility? You have technology sitting in there, and all that you're worried about is what's going on the screens, okay? Try and make your bedroom technology free. We live in a technology media saturated world. And can your bedroom be a place where you're actually going to be communicating, where you're social with each other, not social on the media that you're dealing with, okay? Don't let it be associated with negative thoughts, mindsets, emotions when you're going through. Okay, practically, keep that room as a special place. Make it your favorite room in your house. Okay, have it be a place that you want to enjoy. Next thing, I strongly encourage this. Teach your children to respect the privacy of that room. We have 6 kids at our house, and I will tell you that my wife has absolutely no desire to be physically intimate if there's ever any fear whatsoever that a child is going to come bursting into our bedroom, for practical reasons. But that's just something that's not even there, okay? She has no desire. We have to teach our children that that room is a special room for mommy and daddy. It's a room for mommy and daddy to go, all right? We'll deal with our children outside of our bedroom, but that room is a special place for us. We have our kids, they have to knock. We've taught them that. You don't just open a door in mommy and daddy's room, even if we forget to lock it. We've worked on the whole knocking thing. They don't just barge into our room. Even if our door's open, they stop at the doorway and ask something before we allow our kids to come into our room. Because we want this room to be special. We want it to be a special place. Okay? Third priority, be good sexual stewards. Okay? Philippians 2:3 talks about being stewards and what you're doing. Think about this for a minute, okay? Our time is limited. There's only so much time within a day. Our energy is limited. There's only so much energy that we have. There's a lot of times that by the time I'm done and we're done getting six kids to bed, we're both tired, we're exhausted, and we don't have anything left. And now we start thinking to ourselves, okay, we work with a marriage ministry here, and we're supposed to be good stewards of this. We're supposed to be practicing what we're preaching, but we're both looking at each other saying, you know what, we're exhausted. And then it comes into the question of wondering, well, does my wife want physical intimacy? And how do I know if she wants physical intimacy? What's going on here? We can be good stewards of our time, our resources, our emotional energy and strength by planning for this. Now, that might be a wild concept, and I'm not going to lie. This is something that Bruce and Karen started teaching, and when Janine and I came into the ministry and they started talking about planning for physical intimacy within your marriage, that was really a foreign concept to us. And that was something that we looked at as really, really strange. Why would you plan for this? It's supposed to just be fun and spontaneous, right? But you know what? There's a lot of joy that can come in the planning. If we want to keep moving forward, here's some steps for us, okay? Talk about it. Pray about it. Plan for it. Work on it. There are some people that they have within their relationship that a certain night of the week is their night where they're going to be intimate. And Thursday night, whatever night it would be, is the evening that they're going to be planning for this. Not saying it won't happen other nights, but every Thursday evening, it's something that they know is going to take place in their marriage. Now, how do you think the husband is going to act to the wife on Thursdays? Do you think there's going to be something that's a little different in the way that you prepare? Do you think while you're at work on Thursday that you're going to volunteer for extra overtime on a Thursday night if you know that's your night that you've been planning for this? Or are you going to say, you know what, I'm going to invest in my marriage this night. I'm going to come home a little early. We're going to be preparing for this. We're going to be planning for this. There's an old adage that says men are like microwaves and women are like slow cookers, okay, dealing with physical intimacy. And I think there's even a whole book that somebody wrote about this. But how preparing yourself and planning for this intimate time is something that for women, it takes a longer time, many times. And again, this is a generality. But some people have said that physical intimacy starts with breakfast, putting the dishes away, and cleaning up after yourself, and being thoughtful, and not just going through the routine, but being purposeful and thinking about your spouse. So plan for it, okay? This is something that could open up a whole new avenue for you guys physically with inside your marriage. The other thing is, it also helps with expectations. Because it's very challenging sometimes with expectations where one person is thinking about physical intimacy, the other person is not thinking about physical intimacy. You're going at this thing where one wants it, one doesn't. You're not sure. Do they want it? Don't they want it? That can be a tiring, tiring experience. Okay? And it can also lead to a lot of stress and anxiety. Planning ahead for something like this can lead for a lot of excitement and a lot of romance. Talk about it. Okay? Next slide. Might be awkward and uncomfortable, but it's going to produce emotional intimacy. Talk about what's taking place in your physical intimate times, okay? This sounds really weird, and it can sound very selfish, but talk about things that you like that you don't like, things that you do, things that you don't want to do within the confines of physical intimacy. Just like any other intimacy that you're building, emotional intimacy. You talk about it, you plan, you pray, you deal with things. Same should happen with physical intimacy in your marriage. It's not inappropriate to have a discussion about your physical intimacy, okay? What would you like? What can we do to improve this? What do we want to do differently? Those can create a sense of anticipation and excitement for future things that are taking place. Another joke here. Our underwear spent 30 minutes tumbling in the laundry. Our underwear has a better sex life than we do, okay? Hopefully, that's not true of our relationships. Pray about it. Pray about physical intimacy in your marriage. Is that something you've ever done before? Have you ever sat down with your spouse and said, you know what? We're going to pray about this. How many couples are struggling physically and yet don't take that to the Lord together? And we're going to talk about emotional intimacy next in the sermon, but praying is something that's incredibly, incredibly important. As you pray about it, you understand God's designed sex. He wants us to enjoy it. This can deepen our emotional and spiritual intimacies, and quite honestly, it's a great aphrodisiac. Okay? As you're praying about this and asking God to help you to become better, to become growing in your physical intimacy, it's going to build all the other intimacies. When every other intimacy is growing, physical intimacy is going to grow as well. So I challenge you, take some time to pray about physical intimacy. Again, plan for it. We talked about this. Spontaneous sex can be difficult for a lot of us with 6 children. That doesn't happen as much. Okay? Creates the anticipation. We can keep going. Saves our energy, clears distractions, try something different, all right? Another joke. This is one of Bruce's favorites. I hate this joke, but it's same-sex marriage is nothing new. We've been having the same sex for 25 years. Ooh, that's bad, okay? Keep going, work on it. Don't blame, all right? After hearing this message and sitting down here, you might be thinking to yourself, holy cow, there's lots of stuff that we need to be dealing with, we need to be working on. Don't blame, okay? Sometimes there's some past attitudes, some past experiences. My sister-in-law was sexually abused. Because of that abuse, it brings a whole new aspect into the physical intimacies in their marriage. My brother took my sister-in-law on a honeymoon. When they went to their honeymoon, the wallpaper in the honeymoon was the exact same wallpaper of the place where she was sexually abused. Past experiences and attitudes had a major play in their honeymoon experience. And my brother was incredibly excited about this time of taking his bride down on a honeymoon. And let me tell you what, it was a challenge, all right? There could be medical issues, medical things, lack of other intimacies, you're gonna deal with it, body image issues, all sorts of different stuff. Make it fun, make it fulfilling, all right? Remember, as we're closing here, it's God's idea, okay? Let's keep clicking, we're gonna get through this. If your sex life is gonna be all that it should be, seek to understand God's mind on the subject. God's will is always good, acceptable, and perfect. Okay? Our goal is getting back to naked with our spouses, reclaiming the intimacies. And I hope and I pray that you'll walk out of here saying, you know what? Let's work on this. No one's perfect. No one has it all together. And there's always areas for us to grow. Let me close this in prayer. Lord, thanks so much for this opportunity to talk about this subject that can be a little difficult, a little challenging, Lord, and maybe even embarrassing at some points. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to learn to grow the physical intimacies in our marriage, not because it's something that we just want to experience, Lord, but because we want our marriages to continue to reflect you. We want our marriages to show you. We want our marriages to be strong, and we want the world to see that there's something different in the confines of a Christian marriage. Thank you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.